go ahead. Let me get set up here.
Sound check real quick. I've been talking. No one's been replying. Can everybody hear me okay? This is Ed.
No.
I can hear you now, Ed.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so, all right. So I switched over from the phone to just the internet. I might be going into a canyon. I'll call back from home, but Doug, when you do roll call, can I do the yes right now?
You can say yes right now. Okay. So let's go ahead and I will open the meeting. In response to the governor's proclamation of 2028, the Planning Commission will hold all of their regular and special meetings via Zoom conference until further notice. Click the link below to join the meeting, which I've done. It's on the discussion at the end of this meeting to see what we're going to do from here on. I would sure like to get back to face-to-face meetings if we can. So I'll call the meeting to order. And I will need, does anyone have any comments to change the minutes that have been presented?
No.
Hearing none.
Did you see the minutes?
Yes, we're talking about the approval of minutes from the February 23rd meeting.
And I just want to make sure personally, this is Vicki, that Ryan, that gave us so much good information last time, is listed as the participant. He wasn't listed at all on the thing. Where's my notes?
Okay. I just assumed that it was because read right past that.
It was Ryan Walker that was not listed.
Okay, so how, who is, Wendy, are you handling this or?
How did you want him listed?
Well, on the minute, it showed other participants or others, and his name was not on there. So he is not staff, he's not planning commission, he's others.
Well, but didn't he get on with just by the public comment?
Yes.
Yes.
And so he's not identified there?
No.
He's not under the public present.
Okay. Can you go ahead and add that, please?
I can do that.
So with that change, are there any other changes that need to be made? So since we've made that change, I would go ahead and ask for a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second to approve the corrected minutes or the adjusted minutes from February 23rd, 2022. All in favor say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? So I should back up just a minute here if I can get the right. For some reason, my Zoom thing's not doing it right. We should go ahead and have a roll call of who's here so we can show that there's a quorum. So I see Ryan. I see Cherie. Is that right, Cherie? Okay. Joel, Jesse, Vicki. And then Ed is still working. He's been in and out of everything. So I don't know. I couldn't hear him completely. Is he on David's iPhone or? Okay.
No, yes, I'm here.
Okay. Okay, so we do have a quorum. So let's go ahead.
This is Will, and I'm here as well.
Oh, Will, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My league's iPhone?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
You're just not showing your face, bud.
Yeah,
I'm not.
No.
So do we have next on the agenda public comment period. Is there anything that's not identified in the agenda with any public, or do we have any public on the line? And I think we identified everybody was there. So I hear no one that wants to make a comment for the agenda. So we have our old business, and that's really a continuation of our public hearing. And so who will be giving the report today?
I will, Mr. Chair, Chris Young.
Okay, Chris, would you go ahead and do that?
Sure. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to present. And I want to start by apologizing for the late agenda, but I literally finished up with this rewrite with Department of Ecology on a conference call at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday. So that's why you got it so late. I work with Leonard from Department of Ecology on and off since daily since February, trying to get this thing figured out. So I do apologize for the amount of information and how late it came. Originally the agenda was just to continue this out again until May's meeting, but I wanted to offer the opportunity, if you so choose, to review the information, ask any questions you may have, and potentially take action, you know, on ZTA 21587, which has been lingering around since the first of the year. So I tried to also simplify this thing by doing a SMP COA comparative table to see it, to show you exactly what was pulled out of the COA and what wasn't. The CAO, sorry about that. And also did a narrative. So are there any questions before we start the discussion?
That's a quick question from me.
I appreciated the comparison chart. It made it easier to follow.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead, Chris?
Question.
Chris, I actually had a question. I appreciated the comparative, but I also saw that you had said there was a narrative that was available, and I did not see that attached to Wendy's email. So I'm just curious where the narrative was.
Unsure. I did prepare a narrative that was actually late Wednesday, so a revised agenda should have been put out. It was titled Narrative ZTA 21-587. It was basically a synopsis because, again, you know, several months, almost 5 months has passed since we heard this, and it is rather complicated. It's actually quite simplistic when you read the narrative and you see, but Chair Commissioner Kelso and I had a conversation because when you do see what was sent to you, it looks totally different than what was originally proposed. And that's why, you know, I explained to him, I'm actually working on a narrative as we speak that will help explain that, because actually what was originally proposed, if all of the language from all of the different sections of Title 11 weren't just specifically referenced, 1177, 1178, 1180, 1184, 1186, and we printed the language, that would have been 90 pages long. SMP Appendix B would have been 90 pages long. Right now, what you're reading is approximately 50 pages long. So actually what you see in front of you tonight is substantially less than was originally proposed. It just didn't have all the language dragged over with it.
So did anyone else not get the narrative?
Well, and that's what I want to say is David did not get it because it was sent to our personal emails, and I forwarded Will's email to Wendy, but I did not forward David's because I couldn't find it anywhere.
I'd be happy to just go over it. It's not that long of a narrative.
Well, yeah.
I would prefer, so just
for background,
go ahead, David.
Go ahead. No, please, Doug. Go ahead.
Go ahead, David.
Oh, so I read through the revised agenda already in advance, but I think by the time I noticed that I hadn't received the narrative, it was probably too late. So I don't want to hold everything up, but I appreciate that you put that together because I realize there's substantive changes and a narrative, you know, would provide context or just a high level summary of where we need to focus. So whatever is best for the working group.
So Chris, it's really only a page and a half long. I'll leave it up to you whether you'd like to just go through the narrative or whether you would like to go straight to the comparative table.
No, I think the comparative table is just really more of a snapshot on what's not dragged over. Before I go over the narrative real quick, I see Vicky's hand up.
Yeah, it is. Where is the comparative table?
Clear at the very end.
Oh, at the very end.
Clear
okay,
to the end.
I thought it was just all the X'd out stuff. Okay, I gotcha.
So just, hey, Vicky, for context, the X'd out stuff is what's been stricken, and net new is at the tail, including the table.
Right.
For, I know there's a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, rather than scroll through 50 pages, I figured the comparative table would be helpful. Sheree.
So why don't you go through the narrative if you would then, Chris?
So I just have a question you can address after as well. I'm hoping you can briefly speak to the principles that guided inclusion or exclusion of the sections.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'll go through the narrative quickly. Chelan County Board of County Commissioners passed the periodic update to the Chelan County Shoreline Master Plan on June 8th, 2021. Washington State Department of Ecology has completed their review, and with its concurrence, the updated program went into effect September 30th, 2021. ZTA 21587, SMP Appendix B, Critical Areas, proposed to update the Appendix B Critical Areas to align the SMP with the Chelan County Resolutions 2021-54 and 2021-96. And that was the Shoreline Master Program update and the Critical Area Ordinance update. The county completed its periodic review in September 2021, but the appendix was not included in the original SMP update. That's the part. The staff report for ZTA 21587 was dated January 26, 2022 and sent to the Planning Commission with an estimated adoption date of March 2022 by the BOCC. ZTA 21587 was presented to the Planning Commission on January 26, 2022 via the required public hearing. The public hearing was eventually continued due to the Planning Commission having some concerns / issues with proposed language of the SMP Appendix B. The Department of Ecology establishes the integration of critical areas ordinance into shoreline master programs via Chapter 18 of the SMP handbook. For the SMP handbook, after ecology approves the SMP update, the SMP alone will provide protection for critical areas within the shoreline jurisdiction. This transfer of authority occurs immediately with ecology approval, and at that point, the county no longer relies on the critical areas ordinance within the shoreline jurisdiction. Appendix B of the SMP contained the original critical area components and was not adopted as part of the SMP update. There are three recommended options to integrate critical area ordinance provisions into SMPs. If proposed SMP provisions are designed to rely on other local ordinances, such as the CAO, to meet shoreline management requirements, those local ordinances must be part of the SMP that is ultimately approved by ecology. The three options to integrate the CAOs into the SMP are as follows. One, copy specific sections from the CAO and embed them into the body of the SMP. Two, reference a specific dated edition of the CAO in the SMP, noting in detail either the CAO provisions that will apply to the SMP or the CAO provisions that will not apply, or will apply. Three, include the relevant portions of the CAO as an appendix and explain in the SMP that the appendix is specifically approved as part of the SMP. The statutory intent that updated the SMP will supersede the CAO, so the SMP must contain its own critical critical area ordinance provisions that are applicable to SMP by itself. County's critical areas ordinance is within the Chelan County Code Title 11. However, this critical area ordinance encompasses six specific chapters within Title 11. 1177 is the critical areas overlay district. 1178 is the fish and wildlife habitat conservation overlay district. 1180 is the wetlands overlay district. 1182 is the Oxford Recharge Areas overlay district. 1184 is the frequently flooded areas overlay district, and 1186 is the geologically hazardous areas overlay. Originally, the PC agenda packet contained the proposed Appendix B amendments that reflected an Option 3 path by specifically referencing these chapters and striking out the existing language of the SMP. This caused concern and confusion because some of the sections of the critical area conflicted with the SMP, specifically the sections that Mr. Walker pointed out, 1177020 and 1178040, which ended up not being adopted as part of the SMP. An SMP and critical area ordinance integration comparative table is created to identify what portions of the CAO that are specifically included as part of the SMP and those portions of the CAO that do not need to be part of the SMP. As you will see, there are multiple sections that are not adopted and or removed, deleted from the original SMP since they are no longer applicable. It may appear that this is a substantial change from what was originally presented to the Planning Commission, but realistically it is not. It's almost half the volume. The original amendment simply referenced each chapter of the CAO, which included five of the six chapters into the SMP. That's a typo, and those people that are following along, the original one actually referenced only five chapters of the six of critical area ordinances, rather than embedding the text into the SMP. The version you received on April 25th is simply the embedded applicable text of the CAO chapters that will become part of the SMP. CD staff worked with Leonard Jordan of Department of Ecology, and he suggested that we use option one path, which is the preferred method, and embed the applicable portions of the CAO into the body of the SMP. We worked with Leonard to accomplish this over the past several weeks, and the final draft document had been endorsed as being compliant with the Department of Ecology's requirements. So the Planning Commission can move forward with the adoption if they so choose.
Okay, if I can stop for a minute, then are there any questions from Chris at that time, this time, before we move? Okay, Chris, go ahead.
That is the end of the narrative, and I think, Cherie, you can check me if I'm incorrect, but did that answer your question?
Not quite. I'm hoping you can highlight the thinking behind what made you include or exclude specific provisions of the critical area ordinance as applied to the shoreline master plan.
That was strictly from Department of Ecology's review. Again, this review with going to option one, where we're actually embedding the language into it, went back and forth with Department of Ecology at least 15, maybe 18 times. So it was a embed the language, ecology would review it and say, you know, comment back, this isn't needed, it's not part of the SMP. So that was all vetted through Department of Ecology.
That's helpful, but specifically, I'm noticing that there's some exception sections that are not included in the appendix of the Shoreline Master Program. And for instance, that the wetland buffer of the critical area ordinance is applied to the Shoreline Master Program, but the Fish and Wildlife Overlay District buffers are not applied. And I'm just wondering the guiding principles that guided that.
Well, and again, the SMP Handbook Chapter 18 really, you know, it's elaborates on all of that. But at the end of the day, you're right, absolutely right. The critical area ordinances address things specifically by themselves. The SMP is a supposed to be a standalone document with its own critical area ordinances within that document and or reference from the critical area ordinance. There are requirements, many requirements, about 50% of the language that is in our critical area ordinance would not apply in an SMP context. And that's just through a back and forth discussion and review with the Department of Ecology's team, who says, you know, who ultimately says yes or no to this. And obviously the Planning Commission has to vote to move forward with this, as does the Board of County Commissioners, but ultimately it's Department of Ecology that goes like this or like this.
Very helpful, thank you.
Are there any other questions?
This is Vicki, I've got a question. One thing that I was really concerned about is that through the critical areas ordinance, as respects agriculture where it connects up or it aligns with critical areas, agricultural lands, it's not even mentioned in here. And that was a part of the critical areas ordinance, which was an exception to the regulations because it's a voluntary action that is proposed through the program of VSP. And I'm concerned that it's not included here because it's something our county adopted.
Vicki, when you say it's not included, was it part of the original SMP or the original critical area ordinance?
Part of the original critical areas ordinance.
Okay, well, that window came and went. I mean, that was adopted.
It was included in there originally, and I'm just making sure it still is in there.
Well, I don't know.
When we reviewed it, I was on the critical areas ordinance team. And when we reviewed it, we made sure that the voluntary stewardship program was in there and it had language to the effect that it's a voluntary program, not a regulated program.
Right, but we're not talking about the critical area ordinance. We're talking about the SMP, which
but it
only
intersects with critical areas, and that includes waterways or wetlands.
Portions, yes. So if you look at the wetlands overlay district, the only thing it includes is 010 and 020. And a few others. So you got wetland buffers and classification. So I don't know where the agricultural piece you're talking about falls within the critical area ordinance, but you know, it's something that if you know where it is, you can cross-reference by, oh, it's in 1180.050 and it would be dragged over.
I would think it would be under exemptions, exceptions, and uses. Doug, do you know where it's at?
No, I don't see it.
Well, that exemptions and allowed uses is not adopted as part of the SMP because there are no exceptions in the SMP. That's against the law.
Okay, David, first, did you have your hand up? I guess not. Go ahead, Vicki. Is yours up, Vicki?
Yeah, this is, I'm just really dumbfounded because I want to make sure that we're not passing this thing and leaving that portion out of it. I think that would be, I just want to make sure it's in there. So, are there any other substantive changes that have been made to the wording besides the administrative changes that were required?
There's actually zero changes than what was originally proposed. You know, as I mentioned in the narrative in the beginning, I should check that. Okay, the original that was submitted by Catherine Lorbeer had on page 51, which was the original proposal, or I'm sorry, on page 4 had the adoption of 1177 and 1180 in its entirety. Page 9 adopted 1184 in its entirety. Page 14 adopted 1186 in its entirety. Page 19 adopted 1178 in its entirety. That's all it said, right? But if you pulled all that language over, 1178 had 21 pages, 1186 has 13 pages. 1184 has one page. 1177 and 80 have 50 pages, right? So if you would have seen all of those embedded language, the thing would have been 90 pages long. But all you saw was the embedment referencing the chapters. Well, when I reached out to the Department of Ecology, they said, no, just like Ryan Walker brought to the Planning Commission's attention, there's specific sections in the critical area ordinance that conflict and don't apply with the SMP, and you cannot just drag the chapters over because then you'll have a conflict, right? So that's when I reached out to to Department of Ecology and said, what needs to stay, what needs to go? That's what you're looking at right now. And that was vetted through Department of Ecology. 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday, they said, this will pass. The only difference from the original proposal is 1182 is incorporated into the SMP Appendix B, which is the aquifer recharge areas, but they don't apply. And I asked Leonard, well, why would we drag it over? And he said, it's always a good idea, just like your critical or your geologically hazardous areas, even though there's no, the SMP really wouldn't apply in a geologically hazardous area, you should pull those chapters over. They don't affect it, but if one of the other gets changed, you don't have to go through this whole process again and change the critical area ordinance and the SMP. That's the only reason. So there was no substantive changes. It just looks very voluminous because we embedded the entire language. Okay. Make sense?
Vicki?
Yeah, it makes sense. I to be honest with you, I do not believe that I have the knowledge base to be able to make an educated decision on this. I understand what you're saying, but I personally
Vicki, I don't know if we
I'm just gonna hold off.
Okay. If we decide to go ahead and move forward on this, we can send our recommendation, because that's really all it is, to the commissioners,
right,
with the assurance that the voluntary program is incorporated and still will produce the desired effects.
Okay. That's
Cherie?
Mr. Young, I'm hoping that you can just elaborate on your statement that said, for instance, that adding exemptions to the critical area ordinance of the Shoreline Master Program is against the law, just to educate us on the broader concepts there. Thank you.
Yeah, and again, I'm really paraphrasing Department of Ecology's language, you know, through this extensive deep dive on trying to get this thing compliant. Basically, it's you violate Department of Ecology, which is state law, when you exempt. That's why the exemptions and the allowed uses are specifically not adopted from the critical area ordinance, because in an SMP context, you're not allowed those same exceptions. So when I say they violate state law, it's really Department of Ecology's regulation, which is essentially state law.
That helped.
Could I ask a question? I don't know if I can raise my hand with the phone.
Ed, go ahead. Go ahead, Ed.
Thank you, Doug. So there is one question that I had. You basically mentioned that wetlands and, of course, you know, geologic hazard areas. There is one thing that I think has been going under exemption, and that is this concept about if your entire lot or your entire property is a wetland, you can build on it. Are you saying that's against the law?
No, not at all. No, I'm just saying the exceptions in Chelan County Code Chapter 1180, which is your wetlands overlay district, that 1180.030, which is titled exemptions and allowed uses, is not part of SMP. it's specific to CAO, and it can't, that's where your conflict would, if you adopted them both, it would be a conflict. So you're correct, I'm not saying that. I'm just not adopting that specific portion of the CAO. The exceptions and the things that relate specifically to SMP are in the SMP, right? So if you had a chapter from CAO that said, here's your exceptions and your allowed uses, and then you look in your SMP and it says, here's your exceptions and your allowed uses, they're going to conflict. So what I'm saying violates Department of Ecology's regulations are the exceptions that are in the CAO, because SMP has their own. I know it's convoluted, but again, the whole idea here is the SMP has to be a standalone document. Think as if there was no critical area ordinance that existed. How would we facilitate wetlands, geologically hazard areas, flood-prone properties? The SMP says how to do it without leaving the book.
I think I got it. Yeah.
Okay. Ryan, I'd like to ask you, you've looked at it as many times as and work with it, your comments on this?
Most of it seems pretty straightforward. There are some elements of it that I just, it's beyond me. I do not understand.
That is not very encouraging.
Yes, and Mr. Chair, you're absolutely correct. This has to be a notice public hearing again in front of the Board of County Commissioners. And at that point in time, it goes back to the Department of Ecology for a 30-day review. So it starts the process all over again.
Okay, the way this is presented makes more sense to me, and I have to agree with Ryan. It doesn't make complete sense, but I'm not sure I understand. If I were a property owner exactly, I would have to hire someone like Ryan to explain exactly what we're looking at. But I have worked with Leonard Jordan at the Department of Ecology. He was a breath of fresh air after the years of fighting that we had had with the Department of Ecology, and he helped lead us step by step through all of it. And in many cases, he was our advocate in Olympia to get this as far as we've gotten it. He was able to tell us what would be allowed and push it to the limit. And if he worked with Chris on this, my confidence level goes up a great deal. If we decide to do pass this, I would ask that the motion would include Vicki's concern, the assurance that the approval with the assurance that the VSP program is considered in the actions. And it sounds like it is, but under a different section.
Yeah, and what I can do is capture that and send it off to Leonard tomorrow. So.
Okay.
Before it actually even gets,
Who was that? Was that you, Ed?
Yeah, Doug, just a point of clarification. This we were given this 2 days ago, and he mentioned something about that the public had to be noticed on this. Did the public have to be noticed about this a certain number of days before we can vote on it?
No, I think the notice he's referring to is the commissioner's hearing. Is that right, Chris?
Right.
That's correct. This has been a continuation, so theoretically, people could have been commenting since January 26th on this.
Okay.
Never been closed.
Okay, we have a pretty full group today. Is there anyone else that has any questions of Chris? I don't see any hands. Is there someone that would like to make a motion to the effect that we recommend the adoption of this, with the assurances that the VSP program is still in effect?
Mr. Chair, I have two detail level questions for Mr. Young.
Go ahead.
Or comments.
Go ahead.
My first question is about the administration section of 5.7 and 5.8. I am wondering, the original section 5.7 essentially says that critical areas are administered in the critical areas appendix, as I recall from memory. And 5.8 then goes into great detail on that. And I, my question is, why are the two separate? Could there be one?
I'm not sure if I understand your question, but I'll give it a shot. So the original SMP is in black, which is 5.7, and the administrative provisions stated the administrative procedures followed during a critical area review process shall conform to the standards and requirements of the associated application type provided in Chapter 7 of the SMP. That's correct, right? Because Chapter 7 is the regulatory document. But it also has to specifically reference the critical area ordinance, which was 11, so now it's 581, it was 1177010, which is the applicability of the critical areas overlay district administrative provisions. So it drags that administrative provisions from the critical area ordinance and puts them as part of the SMP. And you're right, it is a big chapter, and that is the most critical chapter of the critical area ordinance, is the administration, the general provisions in the administration portion.
My feedback is that it seems like 5.7 could be combined with 5.8 for greater clarity, because they both have to do with the administration of the SMP. That's how the January draft was done, but obviously there have been changes. It's just an observation. It's not a requirement from my perspective.
Yeah, so the original 5.7 ended exactly where it's still dark, but just said, and Chelan County Code Section 1177, Critical Areas Overlay District General Provisions and Administration. So it actually yanked the entire 1177 over, right? But as you'll see on the comparative table, there were five sections that aren't specifically adopted. So I get what you're saying, but this leads the user to look at Chapter 7, which is SMP requirements, and also the requirements of the critical area ordinance that apply within the SMP.
Okay, excellent. I'm glad to leave it to your expert opinion. My last piece of detailed feedback is just what I think is a minor typo in section 4.2E, according to my notes, which actually doesn't quite make sense. One of the things that I noticed that you did was when there were references in the Chelan County, internal references to the Chelan County Code that were within the same title, that you updated them to be references to the particular segment within the appendix. And I believe you made an error in one of those references. So according to my notes, section 6.2.4, number 3, references section 6.2.7, and I think it should reference 6.2.5. Like I say, a super detailed question.
All right. Yeah, let me get there, because I'll tell you, sure. this thing is, I was seeing like triples and doubles every night.
Of course.
So 6.2, what was the original?
6.2.5.
625.
Oh, sorry, 6.2.4.
Four. Okay.
It's under procedure.
Number three.
There we go. 6.24 procedures. Three. Gotcha. 627.
Yes. Just the excerpt says, and an applicant statement asserts that criteria 6 and 7 of section 6.2.7 do not apply. I believe that should instead say 6.2.5.
I believe you're right, evaluation criteria. Yeah, that was a typo, because what the problem is, which, man, so if you read the critical area ordinance, it's 6.2.4, and just for clarification, you would actually be reading 1182.030, and their reference number was back to 1177 something, which was a typo, which is still in the CAO. So we have to clean that up. So you're right, there still may be some minor tweaks, but yeah, I think we can capture that. I'm pretty sure Department of Ecology, when they have to do the required 30-day review, really get down into that deep dive for that inconsistency. But I will make this change first thing in the morning for the final draft.
Thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you. Good catch.
Is there anyone else that would like to comment? Okay, we're at the point then to either have a motion or continue it till May. I would just soon try to get this done if we can. It appears to be straightforward. I'm not sure that I will be any more educated by May than now. With Vicky's concern of VSP and with the change that Chris is going to do, that's a kind of a Scribner's error or a typo. Is there anyone that would like to make a motion? Not everyone at once.
I would like to, this is Ed Martinez, I'd like to move that we pass this and pass it on to the commissioners with the concerns that Vicky had and then the edits that we also heard during the meeting.
Is there a second? That was Ed that made the motion.
Jesse, I will second that, Doug.
Jesse has raised his hand and he will second that. So is there any further discussion on what we've talked about?
So my only comment would be, having gone through a number of these revisions, whether it's the county or a city, most of this is driven by the Department of Ecology. And, you know, I think Mr. Young's comment about, well, he didn't give a percentage, but my percentage would be about 97% is what's driven by the Department of Ecology, and you don't have a lot of wiggle room. So just my comment.
It's a locally driven program that they have to agree with, which is a little frustrating. Vicky, did you have something?
Yeah, I just want to make the comment too, is that planning commission members, or my responsibility is to make sure that we're representing the citizens of Chelan County and not just pushing through an ecology narrative or expectation. I just want to acknowledge that because that's what our job is.
Yes. Is there any other discussion? Seeing and hearing no further discussion, all in favor say aye.
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 Is there anyone that is opposed? Okay, Chris, you kind of have your marching orders. It was unanimous. Is there anything else on this that we need to discuss before we move on?
No, I don't believe so. Thank you very much. What I'll do is I'll get with Wendy tomorrow and we'll get these couple items, the answer for you, and then that error remedied. And Interim Director Walter already alerted the Board of County Commissioners that there was a potential. It may be coming their way, so we'd like to get this thing cleaned up. So I appreciate it.
Is there any other new business that we need to discuss?
I just want to make one comment. I know I'm talking too much here, but Chris, considering that this is not your area of expertise, you have done a beautiful job here in getting this put forward to us. And thank you for the narrative and the comparisons.
You're welcome, Vicki, and you're absolutely right. It is not in my wheelhouse, but you know, that's, you can do what you got to do, but I appreciate that.
Okay, we have next on the agenda the discussion, and I would like to bring up the idea of in-person meetings. What is everyone's feeling? Go ahead.
I'm going to duck out. I just want to say thank you, okay?
Okay.
Actually, real quick, before you leave, yes. Sorry, I just want to call out that Ed had requested an update on the SDR topic and specifically some of the numbers. I'm not sure if we're going to broach that later in the agenda, but you may be relevant if we talk about that.
No, Chris, do you have anything on that?
No, and actually, I think that would be a good, you know, now that you mentioned that, we can have Wendy put that on the May agenda, and Kirsten Riles is the program manager. I my last day with the county's tomorrow, so that's why I'm bowing out.
Oh my God!
My last initiative was this. And I wanted to make sure that I followed through with it. So here I am, but I don't need to be involved in the future business. I will take care, I promise, just like I promised I'd follow through with this. I'll take care of those Vicky's question and the typo from Cherie, and you'll have a good document that can move forward without my presence. So thank you. Take care.
Okay.
Thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Thanks for your service.
Thank you.
Bye, Chris.
So, Ed, was there anything specific other than I see the chart that you had sent? Were you just after an updated chart or where we are exactly?
Actually, what's interesting is that I did talk to Deanna about this, and it seems like there is some confusion as to whether or not we have the valid numbers yet or not. And this was basically publicized and sent to the Wenatchee world, I guess. And so I really want clarity on this. Are these the numbers that we're looking at? Are they not the numbers that we're looking at? It's a little bit, and you know, David and I had a lot to do with this, and we had a lot of expectations, you know, regarding what we thought was going to happen and what really happened. And so, all of us had a lot to do with it. But we were on the side commission there. And so, I'd like to talk to someone about it and maybe get clarity as to what has come out of this in the future agenda.
We'll make
just
sure
to layer in.
Go ahead.
Or just to layer in. It's not just about what numbers are official. It's also about what year's data we're using and the source of that data. So I echo Ed's question just in terms of what understanding what that baseline is and how we're calibrating our counts.
I think but part of the issue is that there's some court tests also, and there are some, I don't think they're through with code enforcement as far as what meets code for the requirements. And I would like an update too. What I can do is I will ask the commissioners if there's anything that's more firm than that. If not, we'll make sure that it's on next month's meeting so we can talk about it. I'm very interested in also.
Thank you, Doug.
Okay. So let's talk about an open meeting. I think face-to-face meetings are very, very valuable. I think we need to have the option of the someone that can't make the meeting be able to Zoom in just like we are. But I would like to get us back together again. And from what I understand, I had asked specifically county commissioners if we were required to still stay like we are, and they said they would get back to me, and I called late this afternoon and they did not get back to me. So, but I think if, from what I understand, we can go ahead and have face-to-face meetings. If the, and I think the last I heard is that both the commissioners' chambers and the hearing room are set up to be far more, make it very, very nice to be able to do that. And the sound system for sure is better. So does anyone object to going back to a face-to-face format?
Okay, I can't, Doug, I can't say that I object. I just know from running some other board meetings, type gatherings, that the we tend to get better attendance and more input actually when we do Zoom meetings.
Well, that's why I would like to be sure we have the Zoom option for both public and commissioners that can't be at the meeting.
It's definitely, I agree with you there. I think that people have the online version definitely helps people out that maybe can't make the meeting or whatever, so that at least they can still be involved.
Okay. I would agree.
I second that. That's excellent. I like, but I want to do face-to-face, I think he said, but I do agree with everything he said. And I think it would be good to even continue it forward, you know, past these days. So.
Okay.
Yep.
I will go ahead and suggest that to commissioners and tell them that it's that we feel that we need to be back to face-to-face meeting with a Zoom option for both absent commissioners and the public. And I'm not sure exactly how it ended up, but it was originally designed for exactly this purpose, those rooms. And so that the sound system is good, the TV setup is good. You can access computers and allows us, I mean, I find it very difficult here. I didn't want to run off 113 pages on my little printer. And it's a little difficult even now to jump back and forth between looking at these pleasant faces and exactly what we're talking about at the same time. So if no one objects, then I'll go ahead and pass that along. Is there anything else that we feel we need to discuss?
The only thing I want to say is apologize to Vicky. I was responding to your question about the picture, and my voice wasn't coming through, so I don't want to appear rude. And I just wanted to also announce the fact that my son is having twins, and the picture on there is one from my daughter. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Are you sure it's not your daughter-in-law that's having the twins?
I think both of them are.
Okay.
The younger generation, that's how they talk. So I got in trouble for just saying, she's going to have a hard time. You mean they're both going to have a hard time? Okay, fine. They're both going to have a hard time. So
I always tried to insist to my wife that it was just as hard on me as it was on her. She very vehemently did not agree. So
you're not getting anywhere with that comment, Doug.
Okay, so let's go ahead and will pass. Go ahead, Jesse.
I just a note of maybe just a note that I was at the City of Chelan Council meeting here a few weeks ago, and just something that was brought up in that meeting kind of struck me, and I don't know if it's even our place to worry about this kind of thing or not, but there seems to be a lot of desire maybe for this, because the Manson area, you know, the Chelan Valley, as you know, all kind of acts, it's one big area basically, right? We're not separated by so much as the city and the county, but the city seems to have quite a desire to maybe want to work with the county more on planning long-term, and they're mainly concerned, I think, about roads and utilities right now. But I just want to bring up that there's some, it sounded to me like there was a fair bit of concern with the city as far as what the county, be it Manson area, is doing and how that may affect the city, the city proper utilities, be it roads and such.
Well, I think from my input that the more concern is that from the Manson area, what the city of Chelan is doing that affects the roads.
Sure.
State Route 150 is classified as a freight route, but the development, the city limits now go all the way out to Rocky Point,
mm-hmm.
the road there. And what it does then, so many notices that come from the Department of Transportation, come from the city of Chelan, don't make it to Manson. And because it's not something that shines a red flag because it's a city business. And yep. But there was a great deal of comment on a development. And I'll reveal right now, I made a comment about the effect with the traffic, partly because there are literally thousands of trucks of apples, both with fresh fruit and shipped fruit, that has to go through there. And the general trend is to push as much development as possible to make the road safe. And all they do is lower the speed limit every time. And it makes it a little frustrating. It's hard to get truckers to go out there right now. And if they think they have to go at 25 miles an hour through a bunch of tourists, it's even less. But
yep.
The trucking community is, for a $1 billion industry, is really pretty small and word gets around pretty quick.
Sure. I just mainly wanted to bring that up, that I don't disagree with what you're saying. And I think both parties could benefit probably from working together a little more, maybe. I just don't know how to make that happen.
I think after my experience with the comprehensive plan before, when growth management dictated it, I think it would have been a very opportune time to spend a little bit of time together rather than two separate meetings completely. There was a big push to, at one time, to include the entire Lake Chelan Valley in a growth management, the word escapes me right now, but I still can't think of the word.
Comprehensive plan.
But the comprehensive plan, but the, the area downtowns. Urban growth area include the entire Lake Chelan Valley and both fire districts. That was stopped, but it would be very good to look at the whole plan, but that's, I think, really beyond our purview. And I think that's something the commissioners and the county and the city need to work out, but I'll pass that along.
Sure. And being new to kind of this end of it, I just didn't know what that process looked like or whether, even where to start on that discussion.
Yeah, I had a lot of people contact me because they knew I was on the Planning Commission with comments about the development. And I had to assure them that that is the city of Chelan review, not the county review.
Sure.
So just so you know, I see that Chris has left us. From what I understand, the community development, it is still in a state of flux, but it appears that they will be offering a contract to a part-time, one of the city official that works for another city, and I won't say which one it is because I'm not sure that it's public yet. They will be hired for part-time to handle some of the duties that only someone in Chris's position or whatever can do. And at the same time, I see Dina on there now. Yeah. And that was my next comment, is that Dina is there. And from what I understand, they've roped you in, Dina, until at least September. Can you kind of make a a discreet or a, I mean, I realize this is a public meeting, but a comment about it.
I'll just be brief. Thank you, our chairman, England. I have taken over community development on a very, very temporary basis. I have no intention of leaving my elected office. I'm acting currently as the director and the assistant director for land use, and Chris's last day is tomorrow. And we are working on a personal services contract, and he has agreed, so I don't mind saying who it is. It's Luis Gonzalez. He is the building official out of the city of Chelan, and he has coordinated with the city executives there and agreed to do that on a very part-time basis for us. I recognize, I'm sorry, in the background, the cat is freaking out. I recognize what my limitations are. I don't know hardly anything about the building side, other than the initial stages of building permits. And we need somebody that's competent to answer questions for the building inspectors, help the plans examiners, and to sign COs, and do any kind of commercial inspections. So we tried to act very quickly to get somebody in there to bridge that gap in his absence. But we have advertised for the building official position. We're also advertising for the assistant director position, and we're advertising for a plan or two for long range to assist you all. So we're trying to backfill. I will say it is a very, very difficult market out there. As an example, my daughter is a planner one over, and when she, I will say, she did not know I was a planner when she started her degree. She thought she was into something really special. So she is over in Coeur d'Alene in Spokane, and she, as a planner one, was with about a year experience, is being courted by a bunch of jurisdictions. So demand is very high. We're really struggling with being competitive and getting good applicants in. I committed to potentially through the summer. I'm really hoping that we have some good applicants. Unfortunately, Kittitas County, Douglas County, and Grant County are all currently looking for planning directors. So it's a tough market out there. And I'm doing what I can to poach people.
So,
are you getting paid this time around?
It's interesting. Nobody asked that last time when I was doing it for free.
Well, I think we did put through a stipend once we got to the end.
Yeah.
We're very gracious that she stepped in. So that's that'll be up to the commissioners. Just to say that you talk about a difficult market. It's been that way for a while. The county has gone through professional people to find someone to fill the jobs, and you get applicants from all over the United States. When they get here, either their wife didn't want to move after all, or the husband decided that he had a nice job and now his job's over and he wants to go someplace else. Just a number of reasons. It's nice to get someone that's homegrown, that understands the valley. It's nice to get someone that understands Washington law, because it's completely different. And then you have to get someone that wants to live in Chelan County. And even though we think that's a great place, not everybody or their family agrees with that. So it is
really expensive to live here.
And then the salaries have exploded because there is such a demand. And that's a hard thing to choke when you're trying to balance a budget at the same time.
It is very difficult. And community development is such a tough department because there's a couple of ways you can go. You can have a director that's strictly an administrator. And if that's the case, then you need a second in command that can run the day-to-day operations for the land use portion. Or you can flip that, but you have to have some expertise on one end or the other. And it's just, it's hard to find those people right now.
And we've had that people on both sides of that being able, one to do one and one not, and they are not here anymore.
So just to that question, I guess, is there a perspective at the commissioner level or at the county level in terms of what our strategy is as we go to seek a new director and an assistant director? I guess what sort of learnings from the past have informed our go forward strategy?
That should be a question that the commissioners would answer. Anything that we would answer would be our opinion of what we think they should do.
I didn't know if Dina had a point of view on that. I'm sorry.
I'm filling the gap for them right now. But their kind of reasoning behind taking this strategy, you really need to ask them.
Just another quick question, just while we're on the topic. I guess I'm hearing from a lot of constituents, neighbors, that a lot of permitting, short plats, you name it, it's just taking longer than it did before. How much of that is driven by the recruiting challenges that we're facing at the leadership level versus staff resourcing?
I think it's a combination of both. We only have 3 planners on staff right now, and we have been advertising and we are having a tough time getting anybody to even apply. Mm-hmm. We're competing with the city of Wenatchee, Douglas County, East Wenatchee, all of the surrounding cities. They're all looking for the same thing. So being short-staffed doesn't help at all. And I'm trying really hard to not burn our people out. They all have an incredible amount of files that they're working. Mm-hmm. We do have some new planners that have just come on, but one of them is strictly shorelines. One of them is strictly STRs. And so it's just there's a lot of work to be done, and we just don't have enough resources right now.
And I have said before, and I would say it again, that I think that the planning director is probably the most difficult job in the county. You have to try to keep both private people happy, and then you have to keep it the county commissioners happy, both the building side, the people that don't want development, the people that don't want development. And then you also have to be a manager of personnel and be well organized to do that. And it's very difficult to find somebody that can do that or wants to do that. And so it's not an easy job.
Sometimes you find people that can do it that don't want to do it. Permanently.
That is a fact.
Okay, so is there anyone else that would like to make a comment?
I would like to comment that Dina is doing, in my opinion, a pretty fantastic job of balancing both sides right now. That's all I want to say about that.
Woohoo! Okay, well, anyway, thank you, Dina.
Okay, so anything else? And hearing nothing, then this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.